Every Friday, DJ met Sun Ho for lunch. The guy had been DJ's right-hand man in North Korea, and DJ owed him more than any man could pay. Since fast food was the only thing in Seoul that Sun Ho actually seemed to like, lunches were all DJ had to say thanks. Or maybe he was saying sorry. DJ didn't know what to call his debt to Sun Ho, though it was more than a supersized double meal deal could articulate. Still, in the 4 months since they'd defected, they'd been to Bonchon Chicken and Kyochon Chicken and Kimbap Jjongguk and half a dozen others. Today, they were to meet in Insadong for bulgogi burgers at a chain called Lotteria. DJ set out from the male dormitory where he lived in the Gwanak district. The dorm was far from fancy, but it reminded him of home in all the right ways. Unlocked doors, polished cement floors, a curfew, and that feeling of being alone and together at the same time. Plus, he wasn't the only one with troubles. On the other bunks slept men who were battling alcohol, men who'd lost everything in the economic collapse, and even a few unlucky bastards who'd been sent to Iraq to fight alongside the Americans. DJ understood that in South Korea, Americans were considered friends. He'd never really believed they were the enemy. After all, hadn't Americans invented scratch-off lottery tickets, crystal meth, $100 bills, and most important, the catalytic converter? It was a cold February. Bundled in his heavy coat and scarf, DJ took the blue line into central Seoul, then followed the orange line north to Anguk Station. As soon as he exited the train, he heard echoing through the halls the unmistakable sound of an accordion playing No Motherland Without You. People rushed in all directions in that unnervingly chaotic way Southerners moved. No one seemed to notice or recognize a North Korean song, let alone the great musical tribute to Kim Jong-il. The surprising thing was that DJ had a pretty good hunch who was playing it. When he and Sun Ho finally made it to South Korea, they'd spent a couple months in a government transition facility called Hanawon. There, he met a woman who was famous for defecting with her accordion. People said it had nearly drowned her while she was crossing the rushing autumn waters of the Tumen River. Her name was Mina, and she hadn't wanted to defect, she said, but her husband had disappeared, and she'd gone looking for him. DJ started walking toward the melancholy sounds. The chords were triumphant and lonesome, a mix he hadn't heard since leaving home. Yet halfway to the Samildero exit, he realized the music was getting fainter, that he was heading the wrong way. The song stopped. He'd lost her. But the melody, the haunting way Mina had played it, stuck in his head. Above ground, he wandered the neighborhoods, suddenly nostalgic for the north. The barren, snow-dusted mountains surrounding Seoul reminded him of the icy bluffs ringing Chungjin. The crooked tile roofs and bent aerial antennas of Bukchon Hanok Village felt familiar. Passing a church, he heard a huge congregation inside praising Yesunim before falling quiet in prayer. Though he couldn't see the worshipers, DJ paused on the sidewalk, and here came a sound that was pure North Korea, the nearly silent shush of a thousand heads bowing in unison. Soon his attention returned to Seoul's bewildering nature. Here were women in plastic surgery masks and little dogs wearing dresses. Passing a fitness center, DJ stared at rows of men running on treadmills. What force was driving them? What were they running from? Next came a cat cafe and a parlor where teenage girls danced with machines. At an empty shopping plaza, he watched an escalator endlessly cycle, the steps appearing, rising, and disappearing as it carried no one up to nowhere.